This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we're back with another edition of Lakers Fast Break. Good morning, everyone. Tom will be here sooner than later. How's everybody doing today after the awesome victory last night? It was such a good game. There were so many good elements to that beyond D'Angelo Russell, I thought, who was stellar. Game of the year for D'Lo. I would put the Laker victory over Boston ahead of this one, in my opinion, because it was Boston. And so, as a result, let's see what Darren have to say. Well, Tom's not here yet, so we'll see what happens with Tom in a few minutes. He's supposed to be here, but I don't know where he's at. We'll see if he's on the... He's not a guest I can add yet, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, I thought last night's game was great for two reasons. One, that D'Lo really had his most assertive game, and I want him to play like this always. I would love it if LeBron became just a second, the second option on the team, and it was more like a D'Lo AD thing, because their two-man game is pretty stellar. I know that that's not really going to happen as long as LeBron feels like he can be LeBron, but this ankle is concerning if you're a Laker fan, especially for the playoffs. And so if we can win games with LeBron resting like he did tonight against, you know, a good team, this Bucks team is solid. You know, they'd been on a six-game winning streak up until they got on this California road trip. They were, they have obviously great talent, great players. And it's just one of those things that you needed this kind of performance from D'Angelo Russell, and we got it. And so the fact that we know, I mean, he might not always shoot lights out from three, but the aggression, the level of aggression, getting into the seams of the defense, getting to the paint, scoring from the mid-range, scoring from all over the place. That's the level of D'Angelo Russell's skill and ability we need to impact the game every game, especially in the playoffs. He cannot fall to the wayside in the playoffs. D'Lo falls to the wayside in the playoffs, it's going to end sooner than later. We won't go far. D'Lo needs to be like a 2010 guy going forward. You know, 20 points, 10 assists. Even more points would be ideal, but I mean, I feel like 20 is the minimum. I don't know how the chat feels this morning about the D'Lo in the game. Yes, right now I am. Tom's supposed to be here, but I don't know where. I'm not sure where Tom is. So if you have a question for me or if there's something you'd like to discuss, throw it in the old chat. Like and subscribe, as always. I'm actually never alone because I have this. So I'm always noodling around, working on the banjo as I go. Let's see if Tom's on the... Nope, Tom's not on the people thing yet, so I'm not sure. Not sure where LT is. But, you know, it's all good. We can chat for a bit, hang out. I just had... last night, we took the... My family went and saw the new Kung Fu Panda movie, which was funny. It was actually it's one of the better sequels. I liked it much better than the Trolls 3. I like Trolls 2 best, and I like Kung Fu Panda. I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 3, but I saw Kung Fu Panda 4 last time. It's funny, and I love Jack Black. He's classic. One of the best of Hollywood. If you're into that sort of thing, I don't really star. I don't care if you're a superstar or whatever. Like we all go to the bathroom. We all do the same things day in and day out. It's just, what's your job? Like, oh, you got a cool job. Awesome. Way to go. Anyway, like I said at the top of the show, not the game of the year for me. This would probably be, you know, definitely top five wins. The Boston game was just legendary. The fact that we beat Boston in Boston with the guys that were playing, I thought, even after we lost Bando, which was the only blemish for that game, that was the game of the year for me. That was the win of the year by far. I hate Boston with a passion. The Celtics, the Red Sox, anything. The state, not really. If you're from Boston, I don't really, really, truly hate you. I just kind of feel better when you're not around. Yeah, I know, Darren. You're right, and this is valid. He shares this is the thing with D'Lo. This is the thing with a source of gravity like LeBron. It has its pros and cons, and the pro is that you have this force of nature on your team that can help win games, and the con is that there are talented players that are kind of secondary, tertiary, more down the totem pole options, and they get complacent. You know, it's just human nature. And it's kind of on the coaches and really LeBron to re-enable them on a daily basis. And I think LeBron at this point is like, figure it out, bro. And Darvin Ham obviously has his, Darvin Ham obviously has the things that he's good at and the things he's bad at. I thought last night was one of his better coaching jobs of late. I thought putting D'Lo on the bench and putting Dinwiddie on, you know, Dame time was a smart move, regardless of how it worked out, because Spencer Dinwiddie is just the better defender. And he showed it on that block. That block was sensational. It was a sensational block. And you could just tell how pissed Dame was. And I didn't know. I mean, if I'm being honest, looking at that replay for the 20th time, it does look like Spencer kicks the ball and they should have maybe gotten the ball. But I can't tell at what moment that he does it, if there was even 0.4 seconds left, because the NBA has legislated that 0.4 is the minimum amount of time required to get off a shot attempt. I guess you can throw it at the basket and try to get a tip dunk that way. Regardless, you know, it was great. Great, great way to end the game. I'm checking to see if Tom's here. Tom's still not here. Not sure where Laker Tom is. You know, if I thought we could win and stay in the play-in, I would say yes. I don't think we can win all these games that we need to win just to stay in the play-in. We are not mathematically guaranteed to stay in the play-in right now. Everybody's kind of saying it's a lock. It is not a lock. We could fall out of the play-in. We're only five games out from the 11th spot. And, you know, Utah, I don't know what strength of schedule Utah has, but Utah has more than the personnel to, you know, be a thorn in our side. So, you know, it's just, yeah, I agree, Kurt. Darvin had some great moments last night. He coached one of his better games. Probably needs to we need to re-enable Cam Reddish the way he was earlier in the season. And it took him he didn't enable himself right off the bat when he was injured in training camp, right? It took him the regular season and a few games therein to get himself going. And then once he got going, he had a tremendous impact on the defensive end. I don't know if I need him being as aggressive as he looked on offense. He can't play 4-on-5 the whole game, so he needs to make some shots of some sort, but I would rather he attack the rim. If he's going to take a shot, you know, try to get downhill, try to get going in the paint. Just going back to the there we go. Hey everybody, good morning. So yeah, for me, not a top five win. This is a great point Darren brings up. Darren, I've been so impressed lately with D'Angelo Russell's ability to keep his hands at like chin or higher level, catch the ball, and just get right into a shooting motion. And this, that little flip shot of his is reminiscent of the behind the back flip shot that Jokic made multiple times in the Western Conference Finals last season. And I love it. I love that shot. It looks so, and when he does his little like leg kind of point, like it all looks so wacky. It looks like Mario jumping in it in Super Mario Brothers. It just cracks me up. But it goes in. So if it goes in, I don't care what the shot looks like, really. You know, Jamal Wilkes had a funky shooting motion. It went in. So I don't complain. If it goes in, you do you, baby. You do you. You're the professional. You make it happen. Let's see. I understand. The Celtics need to beat the Suns today. I just can't do it. I can't root for the Celtics, folks. I just can't do it. I want the Suns to beat the Celtics. I'm not lying. I would love it. I'd be happier. It would be better if the Suns lost, but I can't root for it. I can go exactly that far with it, so I apologize. I know it's probably not the choice du jour, so I almost never make the choice du jour, though. Not by design, just that's just how it works out. I don't know if we played better. I think the team has to be more on point. I think that when you have a talent like LeBron, you'd get complacent. And because you look at this guy who's the leading everything, he leads everything. He's all got all the records, right? He's broken more records than most guys have played in the NBA, than the average NBA career lifespan, I'll bet. So, you know, to that end, and he's created a record when he's the only 10,000 assists, 10,000 rebound, 10,000 or 30,000 points guy, or whatever it was. I think it was something like that. He's alone in the 30-10-10 club. It's just LeBron, the record of one. So, which to me is almost as impressive as the all-time scoring and the and getting to 40,000 points. I think everybody says that 40,000 points, the all-time scoring record, will never be broken. I kind of disagree with that. Everybody said the same thing about Ray Allen and threes when he got to 2,900, and Steph's at 30. He's got 700 more threes, roughly, than Ray Allen did when he ended his career. And Steph's still going. He's just going to add to that for another year or two or three or more. So somebody is going to break it. They're going to need to be mostly injury-free. They're going to need to start their career as early as possible. And they're going to play for a very long time. But that's what Kareem did. That's what LeBron's done. So that's the blueprint. The only thing Kareem had going against him was he played 4 years of college, if I recall. And he also did not have the benefit of the three-point shot, really. So that's one of the things that will always make Kareem's point total kind of singular to me and Karl Malone's. They didn't shoot the three a ton. They weren't dropping raining threes, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 a game. So that's not to take away from what LeBron does. Still got to make the shot, but it just means that they got, you know, a bonus point a lot of the times. And that's not to say Kareem, I'd be curious to see how many more free throws Kareem shot, probably less. yeah, he flicks it, man. I would agree with Dinwiddie. I want him to be up. I want them to get him up to speed a little quicker because I think his ability, he's got a strength about his play. He's got a power to his game that I think we could use. And I'm a little bit worried when Vincent comes back that they'll favor Vincent because they're paying him so much more money over Spencer Dinwiddie. And I just don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. But I, in this moment, right now, sitting here on the show, I would say that I would trust Dinwiddie more because he's gotten reps, he's up to speed. I think Gabe is probably the better slightly three-point shooter, but that Dinwiddie gets downhill better. And if you know, it's, I don't know what the chances of us keeping Dinwiddie are on the vet minimum next season, which is, we can offer him that, basically. We can offer him a 120% raise, I think, on what he made this season with us. Not what he signed, what, not what he got bought out for, but the contract he signed with us, which was for the vet minimum, I believe. And so it's that or the MLE. And those are the tools beyond, you know, re-signing LeBron and all that, that we're going to have available based on our cap positioning. So there's not going to be a huge amount of improvement to the team this summer. I don't see Cam as having played his way out of a vet minimum range. I could see Cam Reddish coming back. Same with Christian Wood. I don't know that they would pick the Lakers in that scenario, because maybe they would see, like, okay, on the Lakers, I was like the 7th, 8th option. I'd like to move up that totem pole a little bit. I'd like to try to see myself featured more and earn my payday a little easier for on that next deal. That makes tons of sense to me as well. I mean, you got to take care of yourself. This is your job. You want to make the most money as you can at your job. And once you get into that vet minimum range, man, it's hard to break back out. It's real hard to break back out. You have to show yourself to be some either dominant to a degree on one end of the floor, or you have to be, you know, a solid two-way threat. And if you're not those things, yeah, I don't know where LT is. Let's see. Did he text anybody? Well, we're just going to hope LT's okay. oh, man. Yeah. Okay. We could talk Angels for 5 minutes. Listen, man, I'm not going to the stadium. I'm not buying any merch. I mean, I don't really buy merch anyway. I don't buy jerseys or stuff like that. I don't need a jersey to be a fan. But, and that's people who like the jerseys and stuff, more power to you. I would probably, if I were to get a jersey for the Lakers, I'd probably get a Gasol jersey and an Odom jersey. Those are probably my two, just because of their style of play. That's the kind of basketball I like to see.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really? Funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vando's got the walking boot off. I think that's the positive that we can take from this moment now. So I think they put him in the walking boot to calm it down because it's a stress-related injury. Which is a problem, right? You stress-related injury, that's, you're playing basketball, that's a lot of stress. So it could flare up at any time. And I think that LeBron's ankle to a degree is also probably a stress-related injury. And the issue being is that, where do you find the time for it to, like, just stop in LeBron's case? Where do you find the time for him to just stop playing for, like, a month and heal? Well, that's going to be the summer. I don't know where the link is, Tom. Let's see if we can do this. All right, let's see. If I go add guest, copy link. Let's do. Sorry, buddy. Give me a quick second. Let's see if that works. Okay. All right. Well, we're trying to get Tom on here. We'll see what we can do. I mean, I always want the Angels to do well. I don't know that we got the ponies to do well. Anyway, I agree. Lamar Odom was, in my opinion, could have been, you know, like a LeBron James level of talent. His brain, his mind was not focused on that. It just wasn't there. You want me to play Candyman? I can play, anyway, we won't play a banjo song. We're here to talk Lakers. Oh, where'd you play in Arcadia, Darren? God, you're killing me, Tom. I disagree with this completely. No, we didn't match. Angels didn't match the seller. He gave us a chance to match, and Artie Cheapskates Moreno chose not to. He needs to sell. That's what needs to happen. Artie Moreno needs to sell the Angels. Cal, you bring up valid points about Lamar Odom. Like I said, his game just his mind was not in the game like it was for other people. Morning. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
I see. There you are. All right.
Hey, Jamie. Sorry for being so late.
Yeah, no worries. I was just chatting with the chatters.
Well, one hell of a game last night, man.
Yeah, I would. That sounds fun. This sounds like a fun set. Post your set on the chat. I'd be curious to see what it was. Darren is very happy that you're here. You got your fans, Tom. You got your fans. Cool, bro. This is the last thing we'll say about the Angels. I can't disagree with this more. He took his deferrals. He's not getting paid right now. Check his contract, man. He's deferring most of the money that he's going to make to the last 2 years of the deal. I can't disagree with that enough. So, I will say that last night was definitely like a top five win. For me, the best win of the season is still that win at Boston. Just because of who played, or rather who didn't play, and that we still won. And that game by Reeves was as great as the game that we saw last night from Devo. I will say this was by far Devo's best game ever as a Laker, not just because of his offense, but because of just his overall impact on the game. And, you know, I thought for once Darvin Ham pushed a lot of the right buttons. It was more reminiscent of the Coach Ham we saw down the stretch last season than what we've seen pretty much this entire season. He made the right substitutions at the right times. Yep. He did the best I've seen him do in a while. And so if all of this holds going forward, I think it bodes well.
If it could hold for even just one or two games rather than just disappearing into the mist.
Well, no, I mean, I don't like our chances in the playoffs if it only holds for one or two games. I mean, this is the way the team needs to play all the time. D'Lo needs to be.
They need to play like this every game. And it's kind of frustrating as to why, you know, why they aren't. You know, it's, I don't know.
I mean, I think I know why they aren't, because they are trying to walk the line between enabling a 39-year-old superstar legend to play on his terms and bringing the rest of the team up to a point where they feel empowered to be the best version of themselves they can be. I mean, it's hard. I used to see this when guys came to play with Kobe. This is why I always thought it was.
Well, it's always it's always a factor that complicates being able to put together the right combinations on the floor, and that's also, you know, here's the thing that was bothering me a little bit about this whole thing. They go to the trade deadline and they don't make a move. And the reason they don't make a move is because they want to save the draft capital to make a big move this summer. Maybe. Well, what is the consequences of a big move this summer to trade for Trae Young, for example? That's $43 million. Now, D'Lo is not very tradable at this point in time. That means to get $45 million, you have to include Reeves, Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent. All of a sudden, you're trading away all of your depth and diversity to get a player who, frankly, after watching D'Lo play last night, I don't think is an upgrade over D'Lo. I think the Lakers' top priority, and the reason I'm late to this podcast is I got excited about writing about that. And I'm sitting here writing and didn't even see my alarm that Jamie's flashing me that, hey, man, we're supposed to start. Damn, I mean, I'm not going to trade D'Lo. I think our top priority should be to re-sign the guy. He has his flaws, okay, but what he gives this team is so damn close to what we need that it's crazy to think that we want to give up four or five players for him. For a player who's not as good as D'Lo is. And I love the way that this kid has responded to this whole situation. I mean, he forced us not to trade him at the deadline by playing so well. And I think he's doing the same thing right now with this summer. Do you really want to trade for Trae Young when you've got D'Angelo Russell? And you don't have to give up anything but give him a good raise?
I think that Trae Young is better at getting to the rim. I think Trae Young is probably a better playmaker. And I think that Trae Young they both get hot. You could finagle and negotiate with people about, oh, who gets hotter? But they're both streaky. They're both going to be streaky. They're both going to have downturns.
But we never would have had this conversation before the last 25 games. And the reason we're having this conversation is because D'Lo all of a sudden is taking as many shots as Anthony Davis. He's getting as many minutes as Anthony Davis. He's basically getting third star minutes, touches, and shots. And he's taking them. He's jacked his shots up. It's funny, he's shooting 50% from behind the line now, behind the three-point line, versus a third before.
Yep,
that's where the increase has come, and he's given us. We don't need a Buddy Hield or any of these other guys. He's solved the 3-point shooting thing. We're averaging only a 5-point deficit per game in 3-pointers since he took over, versus 10 that it used to be.
I know the only thing that's happened is the defense has suffered.
The defense has suffered, and I think a lot of that with smart coaching and smart integrating of a couple of the defenders that we have, I think we can take care of that problem. We may not be the best team in the end, but man, I don't want to see us trade all of these guys away for Trae Young or I don't even care who it is. Instead, go out and get us a great starting center who can stretch the floor, and so we can play big all the time. And a good backup center so that when AD sits down, we got coverage. I think we've got the other pieces or all of the other pieces are there if we can put them together and we had a coach who could have a cohesive rotation and really make intelligent decisions. It's so crazy because I loved that game so much, and then the game before was so disgusting I didn't even watch the fourth quarter. I reverted to hoping it was going to be like the Celtics game where I turned off the third quarter, put it on hold, went back, you know, and played it at the end. And it was just great in that sense. But
So just so you know, some of the topics we've gone back and forth tonight are, should LeBron sit for like a month?
No.
Which takes the end of the play. So that's not happening. Ideally, yes, because both he and Vando are suffering stress-related injuries. The ankle, the more you play on the ankle, the more likely it is to flare up. Same with Vando's foot. The more he plays on the foot, that's why they put him in the boot, try to take the stress off, try to get it to calm down, see if it's something he can manage over the course of the season, maybe have him on a minutes restriction. I don't know what the plan is there, but it's encouraging on the Vando side that he chose not to go with surgery and is trying to just get it to a place.
Right.
He can get to the summer and then maybe get surgery then or figure out what he's going to do.
Well, I actually think that there's a chance that he's going to be able to come back in the playoffs.
I think he's going to come back within the month, before the end of the season.
I do too.
I think he'll come back with five or so games remaining. I think the same of Vincent, although maybe even sooner. I mean, they were talking on the broadcast last night that neither have been doing contact work on the court with players. So
that's another at least a week away, you know, before they're going to get into a game.
Right. So I feel like Vincent's like, and again, you know, this is the whole Kendrick Nunn thing. Oh, well, early March. Well, yeah,
and the way that we're sitting, there's only 10 teams that are going to make the playoffs and play-ins. So we can't fall out, basically. It's almost impossible to fall out. It is impossible. You can't believe that could happen.
Mathematically possible. All these people are going, oh, it's a lot. I was listening to...
Well, of course it's mathematical. Yeah, if you go 0 and 18.
Or just 0 and 5 and Utah goes 5 and 0. It's not... Right. 0 and 18 is... That's very doable.
You know what's funny? I don't know whether it's the existence now of the play-in tournament or that the West is just so much more competitive. But my God, this is going to be one of the wildest playoffs in the West that I could ever imagine.
It's going to be great.
I mean, you know, getting the number one or two seed can be a disadvantage for some teams.
Oh yeah, no,
you're gonna look at the teams that are in the 7 to 10 category. Those teams are dangerous.
So this is how I think about that. If I'm Minnesota or OKC and I haven't been to the playoffs regularly, I got a young team in OKC's case that is not, you know, has zero playoff experience in general. I want to be at home. I understand that, like, that one or two seed means you're going
to be at home, but you don't want to play the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, but you're going to play nothing but good teams anyway. But you'd rather play at home. Your nose are going to play better at home.
Yeah, you'd like to have that progress of going deep in the playoffs the first year.
If I'm the GM, if I'm the coach, I wish the Lakers were the one seed. That'd be great because that means A, we're missing the play-in, and B, we're playing more at home. So. Those are all good things for us. We're better at home than we are on the road. This team has shown they can play on the road in the playoffs and do well. So I'm not as worried about the Lakers, and I don't care about the Warriors. So to that end, I think for me, it's just how many games can we get LeBron to not play? If the more games we can get LeBron off of his feet and not have to play, that by that I mean playing games, the better. So if we can get up to that 7-8 seed, that would be ideal. I really do think 6 is kind of out of the question.
Yeah.
It would take a real collapse from somebody to...
We'd have to, or a bunch of tanker moves at the end that, you know, people trying to avoid us.
I don't think anybody's going to do that. Everybody would rather get their veterans rest for the... If you're going to fall into the play-in, that's not a tanker move. That's adding chaos. Right. Right, you have the potential to get booted out of the playoffs because of one bad game, and so I don't think anybody wants to have that. Everybody would rather be 1 through 6 and then let the chips fall where they
may. And everybody rather be 7 and 8 than 9 and 10.
Exactly.
I have to go through two games to get there.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying for the LeBron side.
Like double jeopardy, man.
He could at least get like 2 or 3 days rest because there is a week between the end of the season and the start of the playoffs. So if he could be on the tail end of that first week and do the second play-in game and then have a couple more days, I think that that's ideal, you know, as far as the play-in scenario goes. Obviously, we wish we would 6. I don't see it happening. I mean, Dallas is in kind of free fall right now again. I don't. What is it about Dallas and their end-of-season inability to play basketball? Like, it's like a mirror of last season where they just can't win. They blow it somehow. So I don't know what they're going to do in Dallas this summer, but it probably is going to be involved getting rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. Then I don't really care. I'm happy they're in free fall. It gives us a shot at moving up. So, because the Warriors look hot. The Kings look like they've found their mojo again. Minnesota's probably, I had Minnesota win it all this season in the Western Conference, be the top team in the Western Conference, and I think that's probably not going to happen now with Cat out, so... That's unfortunate for me.
Yeah, that's a shame. It's funny, too, because...
Bad for that, dude.
They're probably going to trade Cap this summer, too. It's luxury tax, man.
Yeah, but we'll see, man. I mean, look...
They got a substitute for him that's better, man, I think.
You like Nas better than
Cap? Oh, I love Nas. He was high on my list of people that I wanted to go after.
I mean, let's be honest, Tom. You have a pretty long list.
Yeah, but they all can shoot. That's the difference, man. They all can shoot. You need it. if we had a four that could stretch the court like that, man, a five that could stretch the court like that, that's what we need. Exactly. We needed a guy like Nazr Eden, you know. It's a shame. I mean, that's the one thing that I really regret, that, God, we just didn't go out and even get anybody. You know, I mean, it's just like,
I don't think for lack of trying, though. I mean, yes, we didn't go out and get anybody, but I don't think it was because we didn't call and we didn't.
Well, but there were, we could have used some of the second round picks, and I mean, Woods' injury really killed us. It came at the worst time because he was playing well.
Injuries have killed us this whole season.
Yeah. Well, basically almost every team that's underachieving can't have one of the attributes that they've suffered is probably injuries. It just screws everything up for you, you know. Sometimes it opens a door because the guy that, you know, that comes in and all of a sudden is a revelation.
Here's a comment that you'll appreciate. We're still back of the pack in threes across the league. This team, in my opinion,
the fourth best percentage in the last 25 games.
Right. So Tom likes to take things in increments. I like to take things as a whole, which is why we balance each other out. I said at the beginning of the season, I think in training camp, that I would like to see us cap it at no more than 33s per game. That 33s per game for this team.
33s per game ranks 30th out of 30 teams in the NBA. I
understand that, Tom. I'm not trying. What I'm saying is that I don't think this team is built to be a volume three-point shooter team. I would rather us be as we are.
It would be foolish for them to be a team that shot 45 threes a game when you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Over more threes. Smart threes over more threes. And that is what we have been doing of late. And we've crept up above my mark. I think we're shooting like 32, 33 on average per game. Yeah. And over
25 games. The last 25 games we've made an average. See, I'm trying to remember the exact number, but it's 12.5 up from 10.9 for the first 40 games.
Yeah.
So that's a dramatic improvement. That really amounts it up, and a lot of it comes from D'Lo, who's shooting a lot of threes.
But everybody's kind of like, so this is, I feel that a lot of our issues have come down to not just, everybody likes to point to the injuries, yes. You know, hasn't been injured this whole season, really, at all, except for his tailbone injury for like a week? D'Lo. And do you know who sat in the fourth quarters for the first half of the season? D'Lo. Do you know who was our best three-point shooter? D'Lo. So all of these things to me tie together in that, okay, you made a choice as a coach. You made a choice to play the best scorer from the three-point line that you have available.
To bench him in the fourth quarter.
Bench him when you need 3 points.
It's interesting because what happened at the trade deadline was D'Lo was shooting the three so well that there's no way we could improve our three-point shooting by trading him.
Right.
In fact, there was no way to keep our offenses good by trading him. And I think that's the situation this summer. You're going to trade all of these guys and you're going to get Trae Young and he's going to make the difference up.
I think we're all a little fixated on Trae Young. I don't think it's going to be Trae Young. I honestly don't. I don't think Atlanta's going to make him available.
Well, I don't know. Donovan Mitchell?
I think it's going to be Donovan Mitchell.
But I think the problem with Mitchell is there are other people who will outbid us.
Same with Young. You don't think the Knicks would go all in on Trae Young to put Young next to Brunson and say, Brunson, you drive the ball?
Maybe, I don't know.
They might even trade Brunson.
The thing is that when I look at our three first-round picks and our four swaps, and you compare that to some of the teams out there who have got six or seven of each, and other players that may be more valuable to be traded than the players that we have, it seems to me that the ascension of D'Angelo Russell filling that third star niche leaves us with the ability to change direction and go out and say, if we're going to keep the guys that we got now that we like And let's use that draft capital and so forth to go out and get the pieces to really make this team a championship team. And count on having a couple more years down the road of LeBron playing at least at effective levels so that you don't need to replace him right now. I think that's a smarter move for me, and that's the direction I would go. And I think that the Lakers are going to find it very difficult, because if they don't re-sign D'Angelo, he's going to walk. So if he walks, then that means you lose him plus whatever else you have to trade, the other $45 million that you got to trade to be able to get Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young. Man, I mean...
I disagree. I think the Lakers would do a sign-and-trade. I think that they would be perfectly fine hard-capping.
Yeah, well, you got to get D'Angelo's agreement on that.
No, I mean, he's going to start on a team with Jared Allen and have a great backline, and he and Garland would form a great backcourt, and much like he and Reeves.
I don't know.
It's all balderdash and hypotheticals, and that's fine. I mean, that's what's fun about it, as you say. And that's why I have a hard time getting too into it, because I'm like, I don't know, none of this is going to happen.
But here's the thing that coming back full circle that bothers me about it is that Rui Hachimura now knows that he's going to be traded. Every one of those guys that's in there know that now, that the team's plan this summer is that you're all gone, man. And I think that adds something to it's a whole different feeling than, hey, we're going to keep everybody and we're coming back. We're going to come back for the same team as last year. That's sort of what they did, to a certain extent. That's what the thought was. But then they changed that all by addending it with the idea that, and we're going to trade for a superstar this summer.
Hi, Joe Soro. I just wanted to say, Joe, I couldn't agree more. If the Lakers are going to go after any big name star, even though he's a little bit injury prone, even though I'm a little worried about his knees, I feel like Donovan Mitchell is the guy. I do not like Trae Young. I think he's fool's gold. I think that Donovan Mitchell can at least compete on defense and has that same ability that LeBron has, but better now, because Donovan Mitchell's in his prime.
How can we outbid the Knicks for Donovan Mitchell?
I don't know. I mean, that'll be.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either. That's why I think we're going to roll through the
summer. Whereas Trae Young, the Lakers, in order to get somebody, because this would be a trade, not free agency.
Yeah.
And when you're trading, the problem always becomes that there is a Lakers tax in a certain way, because the Lakers have to overpay, or they have to have something like Clutch helping them out in order to even the playing field so that they can manage that. And that's, Clutch can have a big impact on it. And that's why I think it's a pretty obvious thing to look at Trae Young, and the fact that it's a point guard. If you got to get rid of D'Lo, you got to get a point guard.
Sorry, there's some great chats. Somebody just compared you to Jack Nicholson, saying, "Here's Johnny when you do your lean in and smile kind of thing."
The lean in is because for some reason my settings every so often don't read my face and they start to fade out, and I have to try to lean in and try to
reconnect
visual back.
Thank you, Sean. I did not realize Reeves hasn't missed a single game this season. That's great, because I was a little bit worried about his durability, to be honest.
He played well last night.
I'll say you're absolutely right. D'Lo has to show up in the playoffs, or all of this is for naught.
Yeah.
And I think that Tom's point about him opting out and signing, I think all of that is going to come down to exactly how he does in the playoffs. D'Lo shows up in the playoffs, suddenly turned into this plays the exact same way
he plays like this in the playoffs, he will re-sign as a Laker long-term.
I agree. He will opt out of this deal, and he will either re-sign with us because...
Or else he'll opt in and take the player option, and we'll give him to save money this year and next year, and then we'll give him a bigger contract for a couple of years after that.
I don't know that the money amounts so much as the years. is I think important to D'Angelo, because if you say, all right, we'll give you 4 years, here's your.
So what do you think if he plays like this in the playoffs, what do you think he's worth?
25.
Yeah. So I'd say take the 18.8 for next year, and we'll give you 60 for the next 2 years after that.
I mean, so whatever the Lakers have to do, they have to do it with the idea that LeBron is going to ask for a $60 million raise.
Yep.
And that is, to me, absurd. And
yeah,
I
do it because it's the Lakers. They want the next superstar to know that it's that Kobe. LeBron came here because of Kobe.
Sure, whatever. Joe is lurking in the background. That's funny. Joe's always lurking in the background. We call him the lurker. We don't really call him the lurker. Let's just throw this up there. Please do like and subscribe. Hit that button. Hit that like. Hit that subscribe. And wherever you get your podcast, leave us a 5-star review, as Gerald would say. Leave us a 5-star review. So I'm just kind of going through the chat real quick. If LeBron signs for that much money, they're just going to let D'Lo walk. That's what's going to happen.
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
They're not.
Absolutely let D'Lo walk.
They're not going to do that.
They stay under the second apron. How else are they going to stay under the second apron? They can't trade Vincent.
They're going to sign D'Lo for, they'll give D'Lo a 2-year extension at $60 million, plus the 18 he's getting now. That's like $26 million a year for 3 years.
Oh, so you say opt in to your, I see what you're saying.
Opt in and then overpay him for another next 2 years to make up for it. He gets the extension and so forth. He gets a starting job. I think it'll be our top priority. I just see that maybe they'll try to go out and, I mean, the Lakers, first off, I don't disagree that every time a big name comes up and every time they have a chance, the Lakers are going to try to get a star. I just don't think that the price that they're going to be the star, I don't think the player they're going to get is going to be good enough for them to say that they're going to give up D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to make a judgment that Russell plus what they can do with the extra depth that they would have and the money that they wouldn't have to spend could be a better solution for the team. And I'm hoping, and I think that you're absolutely right that D'Lo has to do his part by not only finishing the rest of the season that the way he's done, but also do the same thing in the playoffs and put to bed any concerns about the Denver series last year. And if D'Lo can do that, then that's the best outcome for the Lakers, in my opinion.
I can't really say that I expect anybody to put to bed the Denver Nuggets because they've owned pretty much everybody when they've been engaged.
Well, we need a second big to compete with the Nuggets, really. That's our big weakness against them.
Nuggets, nobody.
I mean, there are so many dunks that they get off of their play. There's absolutely right when they – I remember all of the things that we went through when this whole 5-out versus 4-out and not having a player in a dunker position and the value of having somebody who can dunk the ball off of passes from the post, you know. You just can't – it's not all just shooting from outside, you know. There's vertical spacing that you can get with a dunker. And I think we've seen an excellent job by Jackson Hayes the second half of the season, you know, in actually using his strength and his quickness to be an offensive rebounding savant and really being active in that sense. I think he's done a great job in doing that. I wish he'd pick it up defensively a little more.
Right. I thought he went.
I've been impressed. You know, he made a couple of catches off of D'Lo, off of rifle passes from D'Lo flying down in there that I was really impressed that he was able to grab that ball and still dunk.
Yeah. Real quick, cool, bro. Just so you know, I don't think Joe mows the lawn. He's the proud owner and single proprietor of Sinblades, which is
Think he gets his hands dirty in the turf?
I think he has I don't think he has an organic grass. I think he's got Sinblades grass. I think he probably proudly displays the product that he sells at his home. He will have to tell us that himself.
I've seen it in a couple of dog parks, and it's an interesting contrast to real grass.
Yeah, I agree. Joe has a great point. Jax has been playing his ass off, and I couldn't agree more. I think that he has really turned a corner. I don't know that he's going to ever justify his draft positioning that the Pelicans selected him at, but that's beside the point. It's not your, that's not something you can control as a young player. You get drafted when you get drafted. Yeah. It's like, what's that movie where Kevin Costner is a GM and the quarterback keeps falling and falling and falling and falling in the draft? The guy, I forget what it's called, but
yeah, I remember it too.
You know,
Draft Day, I think.
Yeah, Draft. That's exactly what it's called. So in that movie, I remember thinking like, oh man, everybody's crapping on this quarterback, and like, he's just a victim. He's as much a victim of his agent's machinations, and you know, you're just a kid. Like, don't. At what point did you ever care as a kid what adults were doing? Don't care now.
Did you see D'Lo's interview?
Yeah, it was great.
The one where he's talking about, I got two left feet, and you know, he's talking about all the great superstars and everything, all these guys doing this fabulous dunking and so forth. He says, I got two left feet and I can't jump, yet I'm taking those guys to school every day.
That's right. There it is. Joe Soros has not mowed a lawn in 5 years. Because he's got some.
Well, he's not in a mowing lawn business, though, you know.
He's not in the. Yeah.
But you got to dig up the dirt and the grass that's there to replace it with the synthetic stuff.
He's got a crew, man. He doesn't need to do that. He's the sole owner and proprietor. He says, hey, buddy, you're not.
Like doing every it. Drug dealer, you got a crew, you know.
I don't know if I can.
I didn't mean it like that, Joe. Sorry.
Oh, man.
But everybody's got a crew, you know.
Everybody's got a crew, yes.
If you reach a level of success in life, you have to have a crew, you know.
Got to have that posse. I mean, listen. You know. But anyway, what my advice to young players on in the draft is, if you know, if you're not Victor Wembanyama, don't sweat it. I know that's easy for me to say. I'm never going to get drafted for anything. It's easy for me to sit here with my banjo and say, don't worry about your future, blah, blah, blah. But you grew up as a kid not caring what adults were doing. You got to be a good basketball player, working on the game. Maybe you had an adult or two that was in your ear giving you good advice. For the most part, they probably are just trying to ride on your coattails because you're good and they were not. Be yourself. Look at how well it served D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, D'Lo said that. He says, you know, public humiliation has made me the player I am today.
That's right. He's owning everything he's ever done, and I couldn't be more of a D'Lo fan than I am right now.
I have to admit that as a longtime D'Lo fan, I just love the guy. I love his attitude, and he's exactly, you know, this is a guy who is able to mature, get better, change his outlook on life, and yet not lose that sort of edge that he's got, you know? I mean, well,
that's the key. So let's go back to this hypothetical. We're going to get Trae Young. Is there more of a coach killer in the league than Trae Young?
Not in my opinion, man.
So to that, who would you rather have? A guy who probably disagrees with his coach, but doesn't let it get out in public, doesn't force the team to do it, you know, and also is enabling of his, is there a bigger Jackson Hayes supporter on the team than D'Lo? Every time
he's Hayes a better play, teammate on the team than D'Lo.
This is what I'm grading at, Tom.
Seriously.
I have D'Lo, as you said before, I think we have Trae Young on the team right now. And if we're going to trade anybody, it should be Hachimura and Vincent. And it should be for no more than 24, 28, whatever the two of them make combined. Even bring back a little less so you get more wiggle room under that first apron, or you know, get yourself.
I'd like us to get out of the repeater tax, even.
I mean, I don't care about that. Jeannie cares about that more than, yes, of course, I'd like for that to happen, but not.
No, but if we could save $15 million, man, that's.
It's not really going to happen. It's not really.
No, I think that they wanted to do that, but the publicity that came out about it, they just were not going to let that be the only thing they did at the trade deadline.
This is what I'm saying, Darren. Like, be you. Don't, your draft position does not define you in the NBA. Look at Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, undrafted by choice, could have been drafted. Had his agent said, like, yeah, we'll sign with Charlotte.
$50 million.
Right.
And $50 million will take care of your family.
he doubled down on himself. Yeah. If I could give any advice to any young NBA or any sport player, there are people whose jobs it is to create BS news stories every single day of their lives. That is their job. They do not define you. Your agent does not define you. The GM or the coach of the team you're playing on does not define you. You define you. You have to do the best with the moments you get. And if the coach isn't giving you enough playing time, then you tell your agent, when it's time for me to leave, I would like to go somewhere else. And it's really as simple as that. And you just got to show up to work, man. Just show up to work. Be the best you can be. It will work. You'll be the best you can be. I guarantee it. Yes, we might be crazy. Tom was trying to suggest that we could trade Vincent mid-season at the break. He's got 2 years left on his deal after this one.
All of those suggestions that I make in that sense,
I understand.
Left to understand most of the trades that the Lakers are going to make, the determining factor or the key pieces in those trades are going to be draft capital. So in the end, the salary. Sure, they'll take Vincent if they had to, if the draft capital is worth it. So you're really talking about filler when you're talking about any of the trades that Lakers are going to make
for a superstar,
for example. Who they're going to send over isn't going to matter. It's going to be the draft picks and the swaps that are going to matter.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
I don't care who you are. That level of filler for 3 years isn't what you're looking for in a deal. There are going to be better deals.
Would you rather have Austin Reeves than Gabe Vincent? Of course.
I think Joe means mobster life, not monster, because as we all know, Godzilla and King Kong live great lives. Mobster life only looks cool in movies. I totally agree with. Unless you are a one-man gang, it's impossible to deal with. Yeah, he corrected it later. Let's free up $50 million cap space by letting a bar.
Kong would look good in a Lakers uniform.
Who would?
Kong.
Kong. Yeah. I don't know if he could hold the ball, even though it was the only problem. I mean, every good team. Listen, everybody's kind of getting on the cap thing now. Every great NBA team has a clutch vet minimum or three signing on their roster. It is inevitable. And this is, I think Darren made this point. There's guys who have aged out of prime contracts. It's as simple as that. And that's just the name of the game. You know, like it's not anything, it's not a disservice to them as a player. It's just the fact of the matter, you know? And so there's no getting away from vet minimums. You're going to have vet minimums and they're going to need to play well on your team. You're not going to build a team out of 18 and not everybody's going to make a nice reasonable sum that fits into your salary cap. And
yeah, but the question is, do you want to have 5 or 6 vet minimums or do you want to have 2 or 3?
Completely. I agree. And like you could go the Clipper route or the Warrior route and just go for it. Right. Genie's never going to do that. It's just get rid of that notion. It's just, I'll send you a link, Joe. I don't know. Let's see here. I think we're actually going to end soon because it's 11 o'clock and I got to move on with my day. this is what you have to vet minimums right in the show. That's right, Kurt Affair. That's right. You call me a vet minimum, bro. That's a good one. Kurt Affair, you're a funny guy. I'm just gonna say it right now. Anyway, all right, closing thoughts. What's your let me see if I can get Joe on here real quick. I guess I can try to figure this out before I go crazy. Is there Joe right there? Nope. Let's see here. What's your prediction for tomorrow, Tom?
Well, it's going to be tough because I'm assuming LeBron's going to be back and AD is going to miss the game. And if there's a game that AD can't afford to miss, it's probably against a team as big as Minnesota. So it's going to be a tough game. If LeBron and AD could somehow play, I think that we have a chance to win it. But if they don't play, then I'm not even sure if I'm just talking to myself here. I think Jamie lost it again.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just sending it. When I had to switch.
So it's the injury thing that is the bugaboo with me as to whether or not. And then there's the question, too, of.
Link sent you.
Are we going to go anywhere? Is there anywhere else to go? Probably for us, the only place to go is 7-8 rather than 9-10. And 18 games is plenty of time to have LeBron sit out a few games and AD sit out a few games and throw away a few games, and you're still not going to be any worse than you probably are. So I've gone away. You know, you did a good job when you were responding to my freak out and wanting to fire Darvin, you know, right now, which was partly a rant, but you did a good job just basically pointing out that really it's been a couple of horrible failures, but it hasn't been a total collapse. And the Lakers basically are stuck where they're stuck, man. Yeah. They can't go. They're on the bottom. They can't fall. They can't fall any further, really, realistically. So they're going to be in that tournament. Whether they have to play two games or one is probably the only thing they got control over. So I'm going to watch the game because the team has played well. And when they play well, I don't, you know, I'm not crushed by a loss wouldn't have been crushed if we lost the game last night. If we lost it, that's fine because we played so well. I really feel confident about that part of it. And that's really all I want to see at this point in the season is I want to see the team play well. When they do something like they did, you know, against the other day on Wednesday night, that's just, you know, at that point in time, man, I'm just going to turn off and watch a movie. You know, I'm not going to watch Carby buying 25 points.
Spooking of movies, cool, bro. I dare you to watch Mr. Nightmare, whatever the hell that is. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe Soar.
Hey, Joe.
I can crush you like a worm. Hey, Jamie, do you know you're upside down?
I am?
Yeah.
Not on my feet, I'm not.
I don't know, on my feet, you're upside down. Hey, guys, yeah.
You're not upside down on mine.
Last night's...
Joel is sideways on mine.
Last night's game was, I felt, the first game where the Lakers played the way we've been wanting them to play.
I agree.
There was a little bit of everything. It was staying with the game plan. It was guys making open shots. Yeah, some missed open shots, but it wasn't. I felt like they would make up for their missed shots and made up for mistakes that they made. And then no one's perfect. No one's going to be perfect. But what they did was they showed a resiliency I hadn't seen all year. I honestly don't remember that kind of resilience. So much so that even in the end, when they were down 6 and it was all but done after the Damian Lillard 4-point play, they said, no, I don't think we're going to lose this. Rui hits that huge 3.
They were in the same spot that they were against the Nuggets. And this time they did something about it.
Yes, very, very true. And that's all we ask. I ask at the very least. If you got the reason why we're asking is because we know they're capable of doing this.
Yeah.
Why they don't do it is a question we've been asking all year. What's the problem? If D'Angelo was 35 or if Austin was 38, okay, yeah. These guys are up in their prime. They should be able to run for days.
Oh, we don't give the ball to D'Lo to score 21 out of 27 points most of the time.
Well, maybe and we talked about
Jamie this. Brought up a great point that the failure to include D'Lo in the closing lineups earlier in the season probably cost us multiple losses.
Probably. We actually discussed this on Playback. Ball movement when AD was out was better without LeBron and AD. Why was the ball movement better? Why were they able to get passing lanes open so that they can do bounce passes?
Well, LeBron and AD slow things down because they both take so long to get their goddamn shots off.
Well, and that's part of why the frustration with Darvin Ham is it's not a detriment to have those guys, obviously, but you should be able to implement the same effectiveness with those guys. And that's where that needs to start really, really being important in terms of execution. Look, guys, I'm noticing on film that the boys move the ball around when you guys are on the court.
It's the assist, man. We've both been averaging 30 assists per game.
Can we do both?
We're in the top five in assists per games in the last 25 games.
We should be able to do both. We should be able to do both. It's, I believe, and I know none of us are like number one Darvin Ham coaching fans here, but I do kind of put it on the coach as much as the players, because the coach has to be able to get people to move and cut,
and call a timeout if they're not doing it, for goddamn sakes. You know, that's what frustrates me.
Well,
timeouts. Listen, as a youth coach, I never ended a game with timeouts, because there's always something to teach the players. There's always some point to be made. And when you allow the players, and I know Phil Jackson did this, and I always hate it. And it's great to do it with a veteran team to allow them to figure things out and so forth. But man, I've always liked the coach who basically will not stand for it. I mean, you watch these games and the other coaches, after we make a 6-point run, they call timeout. Darwin just sits there and doesn't do anything. Doesn't make any moves to change things. That's probably, I think, the single most frustrating thing. How can you lose a 19-point first quarter lead and not call timeout?
It's the timeout sometimes isn't a timeout because your team isn't executing. It's more of, we need to stop whatever this run is from your opponent.
Right.
It's different. Phil Jackson at least from my viewer, I'm sure there was a coach back in the 80s and 90s, maybe John Wooden did it, and I don't know about it, but I didn't see that until Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson would let his team figure it out.
Right.
The difference is you didn't see the Lakers or the Bulls lose a 19-point lead in those processes. It was like, okay, they're running 8-0, and Phil's just sitting there going, come on, fix it. And guess what? Most of the time they fixed it. So he had reason to do that. This right. team doesn't have that. This team, usually when you allow them to wallow in their sludge, they're going to end up stuck there in that particular game. That's really what we're saying. I actually don't like Darvin's coaching more because of his leadership, the way he makes excuses. If it was simply that he didn't know X's and O's and didn't know how to make a play out the timeout, that's okay. Well, he's just that Phil Jackson wasn't necessarily an X's and O's guy either. But if you're going to sit there and tell me that this guy is some kind of motivational speaker, he's some kind of player coach, yet he doesn't know how to freaking do that, then what the hell is he? What's he there for? I'd rather have an X's and O's guy if they don't want to be his friend. I don't care about friends. I care about winning the damn game.
Agree. So I think one of the things that Phil would have done that Coach Ham doesn't do is if – Michael and Jordan and or Kobe and Powell or Kobe and Shaq or whoever had given up that 19-point lead, he would have benched them all for like 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and let them sit and stew about it. And they would all know they were going to hear about it in the film session about how much they blew it and get embarrassed in front of the whole team. And then he put them back in and their pride would force them to right the ship. I think Darvin Ham is too much of a rah-rah, I got you guy. It's why he likes guys like Prince. It's why he likes guys like he likes guys like how he played. He was a role player, right? He likes role players. That's what he likes. And so I think one of the issues you have with a coach like Ham is that, like, LeBron doesn't need somebody in his ear saying, "Hey, man, you're good enough. You're bad. You're and gosh darn it, people like you." You know, he doesn't care. He just wants to win. You know, nobody wants Stuart Smalley as a head coach. And there's a little bit too much Stuart Smalley and Darvin Ham's coaching style, in my opinion. And that's not exactly what this team needs. There needs to be a little butt kicking behind the scenes more than I think that happens. That's just, again, you know, my opinion. Everybody's talking about great rock songs in the chat. I'm having a hard time not playing some of these songs. I did learn for you.
Yes, Carr.
I know. I did learn for you Living on a Prayer, but I'm not going to do it until I can plug the banjo in and do the wah effect. Okay. I can get that down in my garage, and I'm not going to go down the garage right now. Mainly because it looks like I'm the Unabomber when I'm down there. I feel like I look a little Unabomberish when I'm down in the garage. Somebody said, this is an interesting stat, and I wonder if this is true. Somebody said that yesterday's play had the highest number of actual set plays that we've run the entire season. And I wonder how you would know that, and B, to what degree that's true. Because if that's the case, then that makes me actually believe a little bit more in the X's and O's that Darvin Ham could bring to the table than maybe having a player on the team like LeBron allows him to display. You know, that's this is why I had a problem with Frank Vogel. His offense was, Here's the ball, LeBron. You go do something with it. But
in many ways, that is the Lakers' offense, you know. If LeBron wants to do something, he's going to do it. And a lot of the time,
and he's earned,
you know, like I read all of those same complaints on Twitter after the game against OKC. And we didn't call any set plays. Well, yeah, we call one set play every time. LeBron up at the top of the logo, and everybody else spread out. You know, that was the play. Switch a couple of switches to get a center on him. You know, and no problem. And there are games when that's where our advantage is. I've always been more of the coach that wanted to see a balanced attack, wanted to see all five guys be threats. All five guys be involved in the offense, and hated guys standing around, and hated ISO play. Although my one-on-one game,
what it was worth, Frank Vogel's offense allowed LeBron to win the assist title.
It did,
but it was easy.
Defense is vastly better than Coach Ham's defense.
Well, we're getting more assists per game now than we have any time in the 4 years of LeBron's career with the Lakers.
Question. Everybody wants to know what LeBron and Jeannie were talking about post-game. I think that this is one of the reasons why, I mean, and I mentioned this to Tom, had a ranty post on Lakerholics.com the other day about how we should fire Coach Ham yesterday, basically 5 minutes after.
No, I said today. I didn't say yesterday. I said today.
Or whatever it was. Whatever it was. You said it today, too.
Well, actually, it was the day before yesterday, so it wasn't yesterday that I said
This is why I don't think we will fire him, possibly even this summer. One,
no one to pay the extra salary.
No, I think that if LeBron wanted it to happen, it would happen. And I don't think LeBron wants it to happen. That's the deciding factor of everything right now.
Really? You've read all of the things that Irwin has published about LeBron, you know, rolling his eyes at the suggested plays and saying forget that as soon as he got out of the huddle and so forth.
Name a coach that LeBron didn't not like. He didn't like Spoelstra. He didn't like Blatt. He didn't even like Ty Lue when he was his coach. He moved on from Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. He liked Ty Lue so much.
Well, he is a little bit of a GM and a coach in his own way, you know.
Right. So is Kobe. So are all superstar players. Sure, all superstars. Sure. Michael Jordan didn't like Phil Jackson, who got him 6 feet. Yeah. Like that's the nature of the business. And that's, you know, pedicures and manicures. I'm not sure what that's moving.
Yeah, well, but you know, the other thing too is that MJ and Kobe both, they didn't limit it to players on other teams. There are certain guys on their team that you knew they didn't like either. And that's one thing I haven't seen from LeBron. LeBron's been pretty much very supportive of almost everybody on the team.
I don't know why people think you're in Kuwait, Tom, but evidently people think you're in Kuwait.
Why would you think that? I've been to probably over 30 countries in the world, but I've never been to Kuwait.
Anyway, all right, let's get our predictions for tomorrow, and then I'm going to close it out with I just saw Darren ask for Ozzy Mr. Crowley. I can play I don't know, but I can't play Mr. Crowley.
One thing I've learned in this podcast world is your audience remembers everything. So be careful what you say.
Yeah.
And if you have a good, if you have a good hair, they'll think you have hair plugs.
Oh, well, I don't have hair plugs. I just have great, great, spectacular, wonderful hair. Yeah, rest in peace, Randy Rhoads. All right, let's
hasn't he been dead for like 40 years?
Coming up on it, yeah. Coming up on it, early 80s. It's about 40 years. You're right, Joe. I know that there's a lot of 40 year Randy Rhoads. I think it is 40 years actually, because all the Ozzy albums from the early 80s are like 40 year anniversary. That just makes me feel so dang old. I was like, I used to like Ozzy when I was a kid, and I still like Ozzy, and I feel like a kid.
So, like Tom, I said something that, because every time I talk to Gerald about you, he's always like, "Well, Tom's moving." I'm like, "Where's he moving to? Kuwait?" That's what they're talking about.
Oh, really?
Well, I gotta tell you that after I did move, we after living in the same house for 44 years, we're selling the house, and we moved to an apartment. Nice apartment. We're overlooking the harbor in Tiburon and Belvedere, and it's a smaller than our house. And I tell you, I think I lost 2 years of my life just doing the move, because we hired somebody to move the stuff, but we packed everything ourselves. And you can't believe how much shit you end up with after 44 years in the same house. And our son lives next door with three kids, and he used underneath our house in the garage for storage stuff. So, man, my wife made probably 50 trips to Goodwill, 20 trips to the dump to drop stuff off. And we still got a bedroom full of boxes here. And we've been here a month. And I think I'm just slowly now finally recovering from a bad sore back and hip pointers and everything else from lifting boxes and unpacking boxes and tearing them apart and moving stuff up and down stairs and so forth. Man, I tell you, my number one lesson for everybody is if you've lived in the same place where you've lived for a long time, you better start decluttering now, because it's an impossible job once you have to actually move that stuff somewhere else.
People are saying you're 87 after the move, and Joe, you got props for your hair.
It's interesting. Thank you, by the way. It's interesting that the hoarding it sneaks up on you. It's not TV hoarding, like the people that are saving their own shit and piss. Not that bad, but just you end up.
It's when your parents die, you get all of the stuff from your parents, and you have to hold on to all of those old photos, those old movies, those old records,
You're in the shit.
We got my mom and dad's, my wife's mom and dad's stuff.
Too, right here.
It's just crazy.
You're in the shit one day, right? You're busy, right? You're busy, and stuff. And then all of a sudden you go in the shit one day and go, where the hell did all this shit come from? Like, why
is it? The stuff you lose in the process, you know? Like, I can't find one pair of jeans. It's gone.
So you reverse things
that just disappeared.
It's the reverse hoarding, and technology has made it easy. So what you do is you go in there and you systematically quickly do it though. Oh, you know what? I don't need this. I'm gonna put it on offer up for $5, and all of a sudden within 15 minutes, just still available.
Oh yeah, we sold all kinds of stuff, and it's funny too. We gave away my wife gave away a exercise bike, a treadmill. We gave away like a $4,000 table. And it's amazing the people that sign up for these things. We had this one woman actually got a $1,500 treadmill for free and complained about that it didn't include something. Wanted to return it actually. And my wife just unloaded on her. You know, it was like unbelievable. I mean,
sometimes when that happens online, the people that are listening and posting will do that work for you. Like, it's free. What do you complaining?
Yeah, I know. It's and then, you know, then it's all of the changing of addresses and everything else after you've been there. And
the thing the chat wants to know, Tom, is how long it took you to move your bulky NBA trade machine.
It was really this. We moved everything in one day, Jamie.
I don't believe it.
It was amazing.
So, and evidently, there's a theory that you're a grape farmer, Joe. I don't know how this even starts, but this is why the internet is broken, people. Rumors, unsubstantiated rumors like this, and BS. Let's tap it down. All right, let's get your predictions for tomorrow real quick. I know we'll do a pregame and all that with Gerald tomorrow. And we'll all do our best Gerald impersonations to
close. But what is the assumption about who's going to play?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm assuming no AD, no LeBron.
You're assuming no AD and no LeBron, and then we're going to lose.
Well, they don't have Kat. And Rudy Gobert is a giant French moron. So, you know, I mean, he's talented on defense, but I mean, the guy's
D'Lo will go for 50 and we'll win by 5.
There you go. I like that. What about you, Joe?
Well, early reports are saying that it's just sore. So I'm going to say that AD plays tomorrow, and if he does and LeBron doesn't, I'd say there's a good chance they win tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Because they seem to play Minnesota well, even though they've lost a few of them.
I mean, listen, I think you have to, like, I think the key to beating Minnesota is baiting Ant into trying to be a superhero. Resistant. He wants to put that cape on so bad. And he's young. I get it, right? He's trying to prove himself. He's trying to be, prove that he belongs in that echelon of stars in the league. And that's wonderful. I just don't think he's got the skills there yet. Like that shot to close the game out last night, I was like, what is this shot you're shooting? This is a terrible shot. You couldn't have generated a better look. All you needed was 2 points.
But that dunk he got in the game before.
I know.
Man, where he hit his head on the rim, that was really something, man.
Young dude, you got to live. You live with both, and you're happy for both. Or happy for one and not the other, however that's going to happen. I think the Lakers are going to win tomorrow. I think that they found something. Even though it didn't work against Sacramento, and I think it was more because that LeBron was limited in the Sacramento game a little bit, and that the ankle was not responding well. As you know, he sat out; he couldn't come back the way he wanted to. So, I think that was as much the problem. And I think if the Lakers can navigate LeBron's, for lack of a better word, stubbornness down the stretch, and try to get him more rest, it will help us in the playoffs. And really, that's all I care about.
Really good point, Joe. Jamie.
That's all I care about. It would be great if we could get to 7-8. I kind of, you know, it depends on other teams at this point. So if that doesn't happen, I'm not beat up about it. But we just need LeBron, right, for the playoffs, or it really doesn't matter what happens now. It just doesn't.
Well, I think the one thing that's sort of come out is that I think we're starting to once again really believe that as long as LeBron and AD are healthy, we have a shot. And there were moments during this season when, because they have been relatively healthy, where we really sort of started to doubt that.
Sure. Oh, man. Wait, Joe, did you own a dispensary?
I owned one for 4 months.
For 4 months? How did that go?
Did you make money?
I did. I ended up getting bought out by my partner after 4 months because the business was very dirty. I didn't like it.
Gotcha.
It's just that the people were dirty. It got broken into twice. I look like a guy that doesn't belong there. I thought my initial thought process was they were saying it was going to go legal in California. At that time, it wasn't legal to, you know,
right,
do what they're doing now. And I said, okay, well, maybe I can be like the Kennedys. You know, they were bootleggers, then Prohibition ended, and boom, they went into the legal side of things. But this is too far ahead of that, that there was no chance that it would turn into anything like that. And let me tell you this. I will say this. I do not regret being around that world a little bit for two reasons. Number one, I learned more about how money works in that business than any business I've done. And I learned that the streets are invaluable.
Oh yeah.
You
want. Doesn't take it off the streets, man.
The streets, I'll tell you right now, if you're tapped in, they like you. They respect you. My God, that's a huge asset. It's a big asset. No regrets. I was invited by a good friend of mine who ran his dispensaries, did very well, had a couple of properties where up north, here, all that stuff. learned a lot about business, more than I would have ever imagined. But at the end of the day, it's still a very dirty and nasty business. And I went from real grass to fake grass. Fake grass is a lot easier to hide.
I actually have a family. My family has an investment of about $2.5 million in a cannabis facility and a growing facility in California City.
If you can make it work, it's absolutely lucrative. I have no money from that industry.
Yeah.
It didn't play out that way. I didn't stay in it long enough. I didn't delve into it. I don't smoke. I'm not a guy that works with that world too, physically. I scare people. I think people.
My sister started it, and my sister basically is a real estate investor, and she basically went into it as a landlord, and then got tempted along with her partner into actually running the facility or having an interest in it and so forth. And it's been somewhat of a struggle. We're hoping it's almost ready to turn around, but it went through a really, it's very difficult because of the complications that they had. California City, if for people who don't know, is up near, I guess, Barstow, and it is the largest single city, the third largest city in the country in landmass. You'll drive into the city limits and it'll say California City, and it'll be 15 minutes before you even see a gas station. And it's out in the middle of the desert. And instead of building one tight little area where they provided all the utilities and everything for cannabis, they basically made it the entire city. And it's a battle to get water. It's a battle to get, you know, to get the services, the electric power you need and things to do that, which raises the cost of, and it offsets it by, you know, very, very, very low taxes and so forth for people. But it's a tough business. It's farming, man. And anytime you're farming, I mean, I did it as a renegade in the hills and underneath my house for years. And it's, you can have a great year and then have everything just go like that. So it's truly just being a farmer and all of the things that can happen to your crop and so forth. And then selling it, the retail side of it has been really tough. You know, in California, we still have not been able to get the legal market to exceed the black market, which tells you a lot about the pricing and all of the various things that go along with the regulations. And it's way over regulated now. MedMen's and some of the big retailers now have really had a lot of problems. But it's starting to come back, and there are more and more states now that are legalizing cannabis. And then there's a whole another second market that's going on with this phony cannabis stuff that's just variations of the plant that have just a few genes that are different and so forth, so they don't meet the requirements that are legal. And you have all of these other things. So it's turned into a whole sort of special little area of its own.
All right. Well, on that note, as we've gone completely off the rails from the Laker podcast, I'd like to welcome you to our new show on how to get into the weed business and get yourself out without getting shot. Gerald, you might want to just cut us off at the hour and 20 last 8 minutes, kind of just. And on that note, we all predict the Lakers are going to win tomorrow. We are all hopeful the Lakers are going to win tomorrow. We had a great time with you all today. This is my best Gerald Glassford impersonation. Please hit like and subscribe. And wherever you get your podcast, leave us a 5-star review for Lakerholics.com, Sinblades Grass, and Whistling. And don't forget the Pop Culture Cosmos. I don't get that quite the falsetto that Gerald has in his voice is the problem. My voice is just naturally set too deep in my chest, I guess is what it is. I got to use my resonator up here. I got this resonator right here, but that's a different kind of story altogether. So, you know, anyway, thanks everyone for rocking out with us today on the podcast. Go listen to some punk rock or heavy metal or whatever it is that gets you through your day. And go Lakers. Have a good one, everybody.